Good evening, everyone. I'm Linor Mudu, and welcome to Health Chat. Well, get this. There are several types of bacteria that live in the mouth. But not to worry, however, experts say the presence of microbes is, in fact, essential for maintaining the normal physiology of the oral cavity. However, though, it is very critical to maintain good dental hygiene. If not, the result can be gingivitis, dental caries, or periodontal disease or gum disease. Today, we will discuss some good and bad practices when it comes to the health of our teeth and gum, and to address some of the myths and misconceptions around dental hygiene. We have with us today our physician on call. He is Dr. Eyitope Ogunbodede, Professor of Preventive and Community Dentistry at Obafemi Awolowo University in the city of Ile-Ife, Osun State, Nigeria. Dr. Ogunbodede joins us from Boston, Massachusetts, where he is presently a visiting professor of oral health policy and epidemiology at the Harvard School of Dental Medicine. Professor Ogunbodede, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Linod.
And I also asked you earlier if I could call you Dr. Eyitope or Professor Eyitope, and you said it was okay.
Yeah, thank you. That would be fine.
All right. Thank you so much. And let me remind our listeners that if you'd like to participate in the show with your question or comment, you can email us at healthchat@voanews.com. Also, send us your messages on Facebook at facebook.com/healthchat. And you can also call us as well, 202-619-3111. The U.S. country code is 1. And we will start discussing dental health in a moment. But first, here is a brief overview. There are some bacteria in your mouth, most of them harmless. Experts say normally the body's natural defenses and good oral health care can keep these bacteria under control. However, harmful bacteria can sometimes grow out of control and cause oral infections such as tooth decay and gum disease. For housewife Abigail Tusson, dental hygiene is a critical aspect of her good health.
So if you keep your gums healthy, it will help your quality of life and keep your quality of life healthy as well.
Experts say good dental hygiene early in life is important to maintain good dental health in the long run. Dr. Alan Khan is a dentist outside Washington, D.C.
The results of poor dental care are generally cumulative, so that as we get into our older years, we're suffering many times the results of our neglect from previous years.
If not properly treated, gum disease can lead to tooth loss. Some of the symptoms are swollen or tender gums, loose or shifting teeth, and bleeding gums during or after brushing. There are several ways to treat gum disease, from non-surgical therapy to surgeries.
If gum disease is caught and treated early, generally we can avoid gum surgery.
Experts say keeping teeth and gums healthy is important for overall good health. They say brushing and flossing every day is crucial. Great. And again, Professor Eyitope, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Linod.
And listen, I would like to have, first of all, your reaction on this very short piece that we heard. It's just a very basic general overview of the issue of dental hygiene. Let me have from you the basic, very basic steps of good dental hygiene. What would you say?
Well, there are key oral health messages that we normally put across to people. And there are four basic ones. The first is that you have to clean your teeth and your gums at least twice every day. And that usually should be in the morning and last thing at night before you go to bed. And secondly, we want to tell people to eat a balanced diet and then to restrict the eating of refined sugar-containing foods and drinks. And thirdly, we also want people to know that the use of fluoride is usually very important in the maintenance of good and healthy teeth. And in that case, we want to recommend that when people buy toothpaste, they need to ensure that it contains fluoride. And here, we also want to emphasize that in Africa, a lot of people use the chewing stick. And this also we encourage, but they must know why they are using it and what they're trying to achieve by using the chewing stick. The fourth message that we normally want to put across is that people should visit their dentist regularly and preferably within the year. I mean, we may not say it's 6 months for everybody. It can be 6 months for some people, 9 months for some, depending on your oral hygiene. But usually within the year, you must visit your dentist. And here, too, I want to emphasize something, that when we talk about the use of fluoride, so there are some communities where they already have a high level of fluoride in their drinking water. And in such communities, they need to be very careful, you know, with the use of fluorides, and because it could then cause, I mean, what we call fluorosis, when they have too much fluoride in their drinking water in their system. So these are the major messages that we normally want to pass across, but there are also so many other things that are peculiar to certain communities, particularly in Africa.
Okay, and we will get to it later, but you gave here four basic steps. Let me try to go step by step, maybe for this most important here. Now, when you talk about cleaning the teeth twice a day, we're talking about obviously brushing and flossing as well, or what is involved?
Okay, let me say this. When we talk about cleaning the teeth, what you want to do is to remove plaque.
Okay.
So, and you can do that by using the toothbrush and the toothpaste, or you can use that by also using the chewing stick, which is very common in Africa. So, but when you put the chewing stick in your mouth and you just chew it all around the place without using it to actually clean the teeth, then you are not doing justice to the use of the chewing stick. So we encourage both the use of the toothbrush and the toothpaste, and also the chewing stick, as far as Africa is concerned. Then let me now say that when you use the toothbrush, you also must know the type of toothbrush that you want to use. They come in three categories. You have the hard ones, you have the medium, and then you have the soft. So we always advise people to use either the medium or the soft. The hard one can actually destroy the teeth. So talking about flossing, there is no scientific evidence that flossing is effective without effective toothbrushing. So even when you want to encourage people to floss, you want to tell them that it's not the flossing that is so important, but it is the toothbrushing that is really very important. So because when you brush regularly and you brush effectively, it can attenuate or completely eliminate the effect of flossing. Okay. So that's what I believe, and that's what the scientific evidence actually shows. So we encourage flossing, yes, particularly for the areas in between the teeth, but we also want to say that flossing on its own is not quite adequate. You need to combine it with effective toothbrushing.
Okay. Now, I have our first question from Amina, and she's from Guinea. She says, in our village, we are used to using the chewing stick, and people have a very good teeth here. That's what they say about our village. So how relevant is the use of toothbrush and toothpaste when chewing stick seems to be doing the work?
When you use the toothbrush, you want to brush for twice a day for 2 minutes. That's what is recommended. But if you use the chewing stick, you want to spend nothing less than maybe 30 minutes. It takes quite a long time, even for you to chew it to the level where it will be effective.
Okay.
And then the other thing also is that the taste, you know, from the chewing stick may not be acceptable, you know, to people. And then now you also realize that if you live in a city, the cost of the chewing stick can be actually more expensive than even the toothbrush and the toothpaste.
Really? I never even thought about it.
If you live in a village, you know, you can just at your backyard or wherever, you can get the chewing stick. You know, you just cut the tree and use it.
It's a specific type of stick, because I know in my country, in West Africa, Cote d'Ivoire, I know the stick that we use, but I'm not familiar with the sticks that are being used in other countries. So would you say they are the similar type or different type depending on the country?
There are so many types depending on the country.
Okay.
And then there have been quite a lot of studies to even show that some of them contain fluoride, some of them contain bactericidal, you know, effects. And there is even one that had been found to be effective against sickle cell anemia. Hmm. That is Fagara xanthoxyloides. So, I mean, so for people who actually are sicklers, you know, Fagara as a chewing stick for them can be, you know, quite preventive.
Have there been some studies about this?
Yes, please. There are studies and, you know, there are quite a lot of studies on Fagara already, you know, on the internet, and it's even been, I think they've tried to develop it into a drug, you know, for those suffering from sickle cell anemia.
Okay, very interesting. So, now that we went through the four basic steps to good dental hygiene, let's make this Africa-specific, even though we've been talking about the chewing stick and it's already Africa-specific to some extent. What type of maybe habits or misconceptions or behavior that we as Africans have in some of our traditions that are not so good for our teeth? I know we talked about the benefit of chewing sticks, but do you have other misconceptions or behaviors and the likes that you can talk about?
Well, there are quite a lot of them, and in actual fact, I think if we even devote that to this program, we may not be able to go through all of them.
Sure, maybe one.
Yeah, no, let me just run through some of them. You know, you have rituals for natal or neonatal teeth. That is, when children are born with teeth, some communities will want to do something. They want to offer sacrifice. They want to, in fact, some communities even kill the child.
Children can be born with teeth?
Yes.
I've never seen that before.
And then we call that natal teeth.
Interesting.
And then some of them develop the teeth within a few months, maybe 1 month or so, and then we say that's neonatal teeth. It's abnormal. So, but for some people, but there is nothing wrong with it. The child, I mean, you can remove it, and then you can... So really, we encourage people, you know, to come to the dental clinic or see a dental practitioner, and it doesn't warrant the use of rituals or, you know, harming the child. The other thing also is that commonly, you know, in Africa, people put a lot of gold crowns on healthy teeth.
So in some communities,
we want to discourage that because,
yeah.
I mean, in the process of doing that, you tend to destroy the teeth. And that is not acceptable.
In some communities, it's a sign of wealth.
Yeah, in almost all the communities, it's a sign of wealth, but it's not good for your oral health.
Okay.
And you may eventually lose that tooth or the teeth.
Okay.
So then a lot of people also file the teeth to create space between them, which we call professionally a diastema. It occurs naturally in some people. They have gaps between the anterior teeth, particularly the upper ones. So, but some people try to do that artificially. They file the teeth to create that space. It's also not a very good habit. It's also very common. Then we also have some people who deliberately trim the teeth. They sharpen it, and then they create something like a Dracula-like appearance.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's particularly common in South Africa and in many parts of East Africa. So that also is one habit that needs to be discouraged.
Okay.
Then some people also extract unerupted teeth or the tooth boards. They go after the tooth boards, particularly the canine. And this is very common in Kenya, Uganda, and in many of the communities in East Africa. So, and then they introduce infection into these children because they do it in children, and some of the children die even as a result of that. Then we also have people who tattoo, they introduce tattoo on the gums.
Okay, I've seen that before.
Yes, so that is also another practice that needs to be discouraged. There are quite a number of practices in Africa
of
which
course.
Are really not good for oral health.
Okay, very, very interesting. So then what we will do now, Dr. Eyitope, is take a short break for the news. And when we come back, we will continue the discussion and talk about gum disease and other issues. So stay with us.
Thank you, Leonard.
Okay, it's time for a short break, and this is the news.
A study in the British Journal of Sports Medicine found that young men who watch 20 hours of television or more a week have a 44% lower sperm count than those who watch little or no TV. The study also says men who exercise for 15 or more hours a week at a moderate or vigorous pace have a 73% higher sperm count than those who exercise less than 5 hours a week. The researchers looked at semen samples from 189 men between the ages of 18 and 22 who are living in New York State. The experts point out that a lower sperm count does not mean a man is less fertile or less likely to father a child, but say physical activity does affect the quality of semen. Nigerian officials say three North Korean doctors were killed in the northeastern Nigerian state of Yobe this past Sunday. Residents said they were killed during the night in the town of Posiksum. Officials said the victims had been working at a government-run hospital. No one has claimed responsibility for the attack. Earlier, nine female polio vaccinators were killed in two separate attacks in Nigeria's main northern city of Kano. And finally, researchers have developed a new skin cream to cure the painless but disfiguring lesions of cutaneous leishmaniasis, a parasitic illness caused by the bite of a sandfly. The cream would replace lengthy and painful drug treatments for the disease, commonly known as CL, in subtropical and temperate climates. Right now, treatment for CL involves a 20-day course of drugs, which contain toxic heavy metals that must be injected directly into a vein at hospitals and clinics. And that's a wrap-up of the latest health news. I'm Olusheyi Segun.
Welcome back. For those of you joining us late, tonight's topic on Health Chat is dental health. Joining us via phone from Boston, Massachusetts, is Dr. Eyitope Ogunbodede, Professor of Preventive and Community Dentistry at Obafemi Awolowo University in Ile-Ife, Nigeria. Dr. Ogunbodede is currently a visiting professor of oral health policy and epidemiology at the Harvard School of Dental Medicine. A reminder that you can join our conversation with your emails at healthchat@voanews.com or on Facebook/healthchat. And Professor Ogunbodede, I have a question here from Sandra, and she says that her first dental visit was at the age of 20 when she came in the United States. Then she realized that here it's encouraged for children to go visit a dentist. And she wants to know what is the right age to go for the first dental visit.
Okay, thank you, Leonard. Children should have an oral health assessment as soon as they have their first milk tooth. So once the child starts to have a tooth, then you really need to see a dentist. But generally, all over the world, people want to encourage children to see the dentist not later than the age of two.
Okay.
So that might be a general rule that your child must actually see an oral health practitioner, before the age of 2 years.
Okay. And Frank from Zimbabwe on Facebook says, I'm concerned about the safety of X-ray at the dental office. What can you tell us about it?
Well, X-rays are quite safe now, because those who deploy X-rays, they know what to do, and they make sure that they do it in a way that is not injurious to patients. But we want to be very careful, especially when people are pregnant, for pregnant patients. And then you also, sometimes when you have to take X-rays for pregnant patients, you want to use the lead apron. There are safety precautions, so I don't think a patient should really be worried, because those who deploy X-rays, they know what to do, and in most dental hospitals and clinics, patients are really quite safe now.
Okay. Can you tell us a little more about gum disease? I know we mentioned that in the package at the beginning of the show, but brushing, the whole idea behind brushing is to remove the plaque. And plaque is caused, what is the cause of plaque primarily? Is it the food that we eat or the bacteria that are in the mouth?
Actually, the cause is the bacteria. It's not the food that we eat, and it's very different from food, you know. But the removal of it is not so difficult. But what happens most of the time is that people, when they brush, they tend to brush the other side. If you are right-handed, you may be brushing the left side of the mouth, mm-hmm. you know, better than the right side. And then those who are left-handed, they tend to brush the right side of the mouth better than the left one. So, there are things that can assist you to know which areas will need further attention. So, for example, we have disclosing tablets, you know, that can really be used to disclose the areas that are not, you know, properly attended to. So having said that, I want to say that the disease of the gums is the commonest kind of disease that we have in Africa as far as oral health is concerned. And it's completely preventable. If we take good care of our oral health, you can prevent it. And I also want to put across the message that teeth are for life. You do not lose your teeth because you are old. You are supposed to keep them up to your grave.
Oh.
So losing the teeth means that, you know, we have really not taken care of them the way we should. And also, talking about gums, let me quickly talk about the use of herbal toothpaste, which is now very common, you know, in
yes.
Africa. It's like Africa is being focused in terms of selling these herbal toothpastes.
Mm-hmm.
And there had been studies to show that not many of them are really, you know, acceptable in terms of their use. So I want to advise that those who want to use herbal toothpastes, they should talk to the professionals.
Oh, interesting. Now, what about caries, the holes in the teeth? I know I've been through that a couple of times. It seems to be very common.
Yes, dental caries used to be a problem in the developed countries. So, but now it's becoming very common, you know, in the developing countries too. And this is just because of the use of a refined carbohydrates, the use of refined sugars. Now we have people drinking a lot of sugar-containing drinks, and fruits are no longer, you know, preferred, you know, but now the fruits are refined, and when you use what we call in professional terms drinks that have extrinsic sugars. So the natural ones have intrinsic sugars, but the refined ones, they now have extrinsic sugar. So it's only milk that is quite safe, you know, even when it has extrinsic sugar. But fruits, when you have processed them, they become injurious to the teeth, and then they cause dental caries. So now I want to advise that people should try as much as possible, take natural fruits, and then avoid all these sugary drinks, especially in between meals.
Okay. Now, we have another question from a listener from Kenya. He says, how effective is mouthwash, and what is mouthwash really used for? Is it for the breath or for the health of the gum or teeth?
Okay. Mouthwash, or what we call mouth rinses, they usually contain fluoride, and then they are effective in reducing tooth decay. So they also can be used, you know, to eliminate the bacteria, so that really cause some types of mouth odor. And that's particularly if the mouth odor is coming from the gums. So, but sometimes you find that mouth odor actually comes from, you know, the stomach. Mm. So not the intestine, the gastrointestinal system, so not really from the mouth. So you need to know where this is coming from. And if somebody is a smoker, for example, and then there is mouth odor, you know, because this person is a smoker, so it may really not be effective for those ones. So, but if the mouth odor is as a result of a bacteria, so in the mouth, then it can be effective. So they are used for preventing tooth decay and then also for mouth odor, depending on which type of mouth odor.
Now, in the basic steps that you listed earlier with regards to good dental hygiene, we talked about the importance of visiting a dentist. What about in a setting where there is no dentist? What does the person do?
Well, I want to say that even where we have professionals, we still have responsibility for our own health as individuals. So the professionals can assist us, but we can also do a lot for ourselves, you know, as individuals. And so I want to say that now there are opportunities for people to learn quite a lot about so many things, particularly through the internet. We are on a program now, and people can learn a lot from it. So people should look for information, and where there is no dentist. There is even a book which is titled Where There Is No Dentist by Murray Dixon. So such things can assist people to know what to do. And then we also, in many communities, teach the teachers, you know, to teach their children in school how to really take care of their oral health. But by and large, you know, when you notice something and you feel it's abnormal, so you really need to see a professional. So I want to add that it's still very important if you are worried, you know, to see a professional.
When someone has a dental caries and gets the option to either do a root canal, which I remember from what I remember is very painful, or to remove the tooth, what should they do?
Extraction should be a last resort.
Okay.
On no condition must one be encouraged to extract a tooth. So root canal treatment is not expected to be painful. So now we have every means of carrying out what we call painless dentistry. So if it's painful to you when you did it, then it means the local anesthesia, you know, actually was not effective. So we shouldn't be. So now, root canal therapy, it's a good thing if it's possible, but it's not possible on all the teeth. There are some, you know, due to maybe the nature of the roots or something, it can be a bit tricky or difficult, you know, for you to be able to do an effective one. So, but if you can, it's always nice to save a tooth.
It's interesting that you're saying we are supposed to grow older with all our teeth. And many people that I see at a certain age, either you have a dental replacement or they don't have many teeth left. So it's all about the way we care for our teeth.
That's it. So it's all about the way we care for our teeth. And there are so many things that people do that can really be injurious, you know, to their teeth. For example, simple use of mouth guards, you know, for people who engage in sports.
Yes.
So if you engage in boxing, in contact sports, you are supposed to use mouth guards so people don't do it. And then even, you know, the use of pacifiers, you know, some parents really use pacifiers for their children. That is sugar drinks that are given to babies to make them stop crying and to make them fall asleep.
Okay.
So these children fall asleep with the pacifiers, with the sugar-containing drinks, and then it causes, you know, causes caries, you know, at the end of the day. And some of these caries can even be what we call rampant caries, you know, all over the mouth, you know, for these little children. So those are things that we want to discourage.
Okay, Dr. Eitope, unfortunately, that will be the last word. That's all the time we have for today. It was a great, great time to have you here with us on Health Chat. Thank you.
Thank you, Leonard.
And that was Dr. Eyitope Ogunbodede, Professor of Preventive and Community Dentistry at Obafemi Awolowo University, Nigeria. For more, log on to our website at voanews.com/health and join us on Facebook. I'm your host, Leonard Mudu, in Washington, with producer Jackson Vungani. Take care, be well, strive to make every day a healthy day.